Welcome back to The Morning Show. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is under audit. Some lawmakers want to know more about the Foxconn deal right now. Plus, members of the State Assembly could pass a bill removing Wisconsin's mining moratorium tomorrow. This is our State Capitol Reporter, and joining me in this segment is State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, who's in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Hi, John.
So let's talk about what's going on with the WEDC. There was a committee hearing. Democrats grilled WEDC officials pretty hard.
So this is a meeting of the legislature's audit committee for an audit that took place and was released back in May of this year. And what that audit said was said that WEDC had made some improvements. However, it still was not tracking job creation for its financial rewards to companies the way that it's supposed to under state law. And so that's been a finding that the legislature's nonpartisan audit bureau has found a number of times with WEDC, and found it again. It presented that finding to the legislature, and they just so happened to be gathering to talk about it at a time when WEDC is in the middle of contract negotiations, or is yet to finalize a contract with Foxconn, which would be, you know, pretty heavily based on job creation. Counting those jobs would, how the state counts those jobs, could mean a lot of money.
And there was a fairly sharp exchange between the WEDC CEO, Mark Hogan, and Madison Democrat Representative Therese Berceau. You have some audio for that.
Yeah. So just some context on this. The Democrats on the committee, the minority party on the committee, really did most of the questioning here of WEDC CEO Mark Hogan. There was kind of a repeated theme in there of, you know, why should the state trust you, WEDC, to, you know, count jobs? Why can't you hit this requirement that's been kind of pointed out in audit after audit that WEDC falls short? Here's the exchange between WEDC CEO Mark Hogan and Representative Therese Berceau.
There is no reasonable or realistic way to effectively verify 35,000 independent jobs.
Yet we have forgiven loans based on jobs that
right.
we feel we can't effectively establish as having been created.
We're
still going ahead with loan forgiveness, even though we don't have what we consider solid verification.
I don't agree with that. I mean, that's if that's your assertion, that's fine. But I mean, the way I view it is when we receive the information, if we have a loan that's subject to forgiveness and we're going to close that loan out, we receive the information from the company and we spend a lot of time looking at that information, make sure that it complies with the terms of the contract.
So I didn't quite understand whether or not Mark Hogan was saying we can't track the jobs or we can. What is it?
I think what he's saying is that we get enough information that we feel like we have a good picture of whether or not this company has fulfilled its promises.
Hmm.
But it does not fulfill the requirements as spelled out in law to the letter. And it is something that the audit bureau has pointed out again and again, that these are steps. You know, there are steps that WEDC could take to further verify job creation, and it hasn't done that.
Hmm. So the Democrats have also pressed for disclosure of the Foxconn contract itself. That's still private. And as I understand it, even the board members aren't going to see the contract itself, just a summary.
That's what we're hearing from, you know, the outside. And typically these contracts are negotiated privately. You see the details when it's done. And so it's not surprising that Democrats would ask to see the details on this one. It is a big contract, a big important contract. It's also not surprising that WEDC would say, no, we're going to wait until, you know, the ink is dry, basically, until we've finished this thing. You have heard one Democratic state senator, Tim Carpenter, who is a board member on the WEDC board, say this contract contained. His quote to the State Journal initially was he called it a nuclear bomb. And what he's talking about, he said in a subsequent interview, was that there was some dispute over language in the contract when it comes to clawback, the state's clawback provision. That is, it's the state's ability to go back and get money that it awarded to Foxconn if Foxconn does not, you know, meet the deal, basically. And so when you think about the deal we're talking about, the Foxconn deal has $1.5 billion with a B incentives that are tied to job creation. So if Foxconn creates up to, you know, 13,000 jobs, it could get $1.5 billion worth of state tax incentives. But I think the question, according to Tim Carpenter, that they're grappling with now is how strong is that state's ability going to be to get its money back if the deal isn't to the state's liking?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at some other issues. The legislature is going back into a very short session, and highlight for us some of the things that are going to take place this week.
Yeah, so the assembly's in on Thursday, and they're likely going to have a couple things on the calendar. I mean, they got a big calendar, but a couple things that'll get people's attention, I think. One would end Wisconsin's minimum hunting age. So right now, people can go on mentored hunts. Kids can go on mentored hunts when they're as young as 10 years old. Under this bill, there would be no 10-year requirement. A 9-year-old, 8-year-old, there would be no requirement in terms of a minimum age to go on a mentored hunt. Also, this bill would take away this requirement that we have in state law now that when these kids go on a mentored hunt, that the mentor and the kid have one gun between them. This would eliminate that, so they could both carry a gun out to the hunt. It's supported by the NRA and some other hunting groups. The Wisconsin Wildlife Federation opposes it. They don't like that that gun requirement. They think it's important to have one out there.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, that's a... Boy, there's an hour's worth of talk show right there. The assembly is going to take up a bill also on Thursday that might possibly end Wisconsin's sulfide mining moratorium. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so it's going to probably pass an assembly committee tomorrow and be on the calendar Thursday. This is a mining moratorium, Wisconsin's mining moratorium law that was passed, had broad bipartisan support at the time, signed into law by Governor Tommy Thompson in 1998, and it requires companies seeking to mine sulfide ores like copper, zinc, and gold to prove that similar Canadian or U.S. mines had operations for 10 years and have been closed for 10 years without causing pollution. And it's something that, you know, supporters of the moratorium say is basically a prove it first law. That it doesn't say you absolutely can't mine, but it says that you have to prove that it's been done without causing pollution over a long period of time. This would eliminate that moratorium, as it's commonly referred to. And backers like State Senator Tom Tiffany are saying that that moratorium has inhibited, you know, the state's mining industry. And Tiffany, somebody who also was kind of the lead author, definitely the lead author on a bill that would... It was aimed at getting the GTAC mining company in northern Wisconsin for an iron mine. This is a different kind of mining. There's more potential for pollution when you talk about sulfide mining.
Yeah, and Senator Tiffany was on this program back in August talking about repealing the moratorium, saying, "Hey, it's already been shown that these things can happen safely, and so let's move ahead with this." How likely is it, do you think, that the assembly will repeal the mining moratorium this week?
I think if they're going to put it on the calendar, they have the votes to do it in the assembly. You know, the Republicans there have 64 seats, so they could afford to lose a lot of their own members and still pass this bill. I mean, that 64 out of 99 assembly seats are Republican. Mm-hmm. And again, when you see something like this come up on the proposed calendar, assuming it's on the final calendar, they're probably going to pass it. I think the question on something like this is it would always have a little more doubt in the state Senate, where there's still a big majority there, but you might have senators there, a handful of senators who have concerns with it. But they have also passed this bill out of a committee in the Senate, so it's moving in both houses of the legislature.
What else is the Senate looking at? Do we know?
Yeah, they've got a bill up in the Senate tomorrow that would provide grants to replace lead service lines, so the lead water lines to houses. And these would be grants and low interest or no interest loans that target low-income homeowners. This is something that the state's largest business group, WMC, had earlier said it opposed. Just talking with WMC last week, they no longer oppose it. They're neutral on this bill now. So that's significant because, I mean, they obviously have a lot of clout in the Capitol these days. If they're not actively fighting it, it certainly gives that bill a better chance.
Other than lifting the mining moratorium, anything big you're expecting to come out of this brief legislative session?
The legislative session, they'll be in session in November. They've got basically between now and March to get things done. So while they might have a brief floor period here, I would just look at the next few months, and there's a lot of different ways that this could go. I mean, there's a lot of bills out there that conservatives want when it comes to, for example, there's a bill that would allow for permitless concealed carry. You could carry concealed weapon as you can now in Wisconsin, only wouldn't require a permit, as an example of a bill that will be floating out there. And I guess we'll see how far Republican leadership wants to go with bills like that, and you know whether there will be any internal struggles. It's really what they want to do amongst themselves right now, given the status of state government. Democrats just don't have the power to block things right now.
Okay. Sean Johnson, thank you so much for coming in and joining us this
morning. You're welcome, John.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. The morning show is produced by Keely Boltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. Dean Knetter was our technical director this morning. Thank you to both of them for producing another excellent hour of programming, if I do say so myself. More to come on the morning show after the news. Coming up next, we'll look at quackery. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR.